Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
To be a good neighbor, I think you share life stories. You build a relationship, you help each other out when in need, and you kind of do life together.
They're there for you if you have a problem. Everyone's from different places. I think God gave us people to enjoy.
Well, I don't think you can do this life alone.
And it's nice to know when other people are going through things similar that you experienced too.
It's kind of nice to know that some people have your backs and you can have theirs when they need it.
Yeah, relationships keep you human.
Yeah.
And they keep you alive at the same time. Yeah. You know?
We're surrounded with opportunities for incredible relationships, and why miss out on that? You know, you learn all different kinds of people with all different kinds of skills and passion, and why not be surrounded by that every day?
I think being a good neighbor is having that community, that feeling that you're not alone.
It's people willing to, you know, lift a hand and actually help each other out.
Yeah.
It's good to be with you. My name is Jay Height, and let me just tell you a little bit about myself. My wife, Jane, is with me today. We've been married 33 years. We have three kids. Our oldest, Jeremy, and his wife, Ritu, serve at Trevecca Community Church in Nashville. They were missionaries in West Africa for the Church of the Nazarene. And more importantly, they have two grandchildren, Zane and Ruby, and a new one coming in September, so we're excited about that. Our middle child, Jenna, is married to Edson Solores. He's from about 15 minutes from here. Edson is director of business services at Shepherd, and she has taught and staying home with her little one. And so we're blessed by them. And then our youngest, Jill, and her husband, Ryan, is a youth pastor in Northeast Indiana, and they have three children. They have two foster boys who hopefully this will be our gotcha year, and they also have a little one-year-old Travis. And so those of you who are grandparents know that this is what it is to have grandchildren. God said, you survived middle school with your kids, I owe you. And so I'm gonna bless you. And so we're very blessed by our grandchildren. Jane and I have served, next month will be 26 years at Shepherd Community in Indianapolis, it's interesting, our two older ones, Jeremy and Ritu and Jenna and Edson, they all went to Olivet but met interning at Shepherd Community. And I met my bride at Wright State University. I was to go to Mount Vernon but blew out my knee on a mission trip to Community of Hope in Washington, D.C. and had to have a series of knee surgeries and so had to stay home. But God blessed me in that. And so... we've served there, and I serve on staff as an associate minister, and so it is really good to be with you today. I want to tell you a Father's Day. It is Father's Day. I text my two older brothers this morning, and I sent them my father's favorite passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I said, we're blessed with a heritage. Hebrews says, remember the faith of the leaders before you. And I'm blessed to have a spiritual heritage of my father. As a young kid growing up in Dayton, Ohio, starting in seventh grade, I delivered morning newspapers and would get up about 4:30. I had about 100 homes I would deliver to, and half of the way through, I would do half of it, come back to get more papers to do the other half. And I would remember looking in the kitchen window, the light would be on, and my dad would be at the table praying, reading his Bible. In 1978, I was delivering papers, and some of you will remember, we had this little thing called the Blizzard of 78. And for a few days, we couldn't deliver, but finally, unfortunately, they got the newspapers through, and so it was my job to deliver them. And my dad said, I'll go with you. And he said, just follow me. He would take a step, and he would take a step. As he blazed the trail that morning for me, And while he's in heaven with my mother, I think of the spiritual heritage where he said, follow after me. And so I am thankful for that. We're going to look at a scripture today. It's one that you're going to know. And I'm going to maybe try to focus a little differently. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I want you to pay attention, because he doesn't answer the question of who the neighbor is. He answers and defines what it is to be a neighbor. And that speaks to us continuously today. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. When we look at this passage, we tend to focus on that businessman, that Good Samaritan. I want us to focus on the priest and the Levite. But to do that, I want to tell you a story. Before we came to Indianapolis, we entered full-time ministry in the inner city of Cincinnati in an area called Over the Rhine. And we were serving at a Nazarene ministry there, and it was the only Monday in November before Thanksgiving. And I had a breakfast meeting, went back home and got something, and I left. And in Cincinnati, they have something I've still never figured out. They're called viaducts. To me, they look like bridges, but they're viaducts. And so I was on the Western Hills Viaduct, 3 lanes going over. When you return, it would come under, but these 3 lanes are going over. And all of a sudden, traffic stopped. There were cars in front of me. To the right was a Metro bus. It was stopped. In the cars in front of me, there were 4. 2 went in the left lane, 2 went in the right, and they kept going. And then as I pulled up, their lane in the middle of the street was a young boy. I pulled my car up. I jumped out. I ran over. He had run in front of that bus. A car had hit him. He had skidded several feet. So I ran over to him. I see the bone in his left leg is protruding. He's bleeding. And I pull his coat down. He's unconscious. Blood's trickling from his nose, his mouth, his ears. And I don't know what to do. And behind me from a voice was a lady who ran up, and she said, it was her and her roommate were in the pickup behind me. And she said, we're emergency room nurses from Children's Hospital. Do what I say. I was ready to listen. And the second nurse came with this big kit, and so she begins to work on the kid's leg to stop the bleeding. And the other lady looked at me and she said, we've got to start CPR. And there in the middle of the street, she's doing chest compressions, but she knows she needs to keep me focused. And so she, as she would do that, my job, they had a bag, and I had it on his face. I'm holding it tight, and I'm squeezing it. And she says, you got to keep him going. You got to keep him breathing. You got to keep him alive. You got to keep him going. You got to keep him breathing. You got to keep him alive. And it seems like for eternity that this goes on, and finally a police officer shows up. He has oxygen. They put oxygen on, and I go over and I pray with the driver of the car, who's very distraught, And he just kept saying, but he ran out in front of me. Ambulance finally showed up. And so one of the two nurses actually is getting in the ambulance because they were on their way to work. And she's going to ride in and keep working on him. As the other one went to go back to the truck, I said, is he going to make it? And she said, I don't know. I drove the short distance to our office. I go in and I'm crying and I have blood on me and they're like, what is wrong? And I call Jane and I'm sobbing. And I said, how could you drive by a little boy laying in the middle of the street and keep going? But four cars did. Jane and I would go to the hospital and visit. His name was Curtis. He was in intensive care. He was tied down. He had swelling on the brain, quite a few injuries. The good news is Curtis survives. But I was angry. I could not understand how you could drive by a little boy, he was 10, laying in the street. Sunday morning after Thanksgiving, in my prayer time, God says, Jay, you do the same thing. You're so busy in your ministry that you're driving by people in your world who are dying in the streets. It was the story of the priest and the Levite. For you see, sometimes we can begin to make up the excuses for us not to love our neighbor. Well, they're not really my neighbor. They don't live exactly next door. That's what the teacher of the law was trying to catch up on. And Jesus says, it isn't for you to be defined by a location or an address, but it is to be defined by how you act. Do you love your neighbor? And so this question I want to take us through is, how do we make sure that we don't walk by on the other side of the road? How do we make sure that we're not over here and Curtis is over there? Maybe the excuse is this: I'm not a doctor, not a nurse. I don't know what to do. If I just need to get out of the way because someone else who knows more what to do will be there. I'm not the pastor. I'm not Pastor Brian. If someone needs Jesus, that's his job, right? I'll just hurry on and I'll call the church and have someone come. This is in 1992, so it was before cell phones. I'll rush on and I'll call for someone else. The excuses that we make, but I want you to know that proximity matters in ministry. And proximity matters in loving your neighbor. I think of a phone call this morning. There in the room, Jane was getting ready, and one of our dear friends called. Donna lives in our neighborhood. We live, work, and worship in the Near East Side of Indianapolis, one of the toughest areas of the city for the whole city. And Donna is an amazing lady. She teaches me more about loving your neighbor, and she has absolutely nothing. But she called and she said, Jose is in the final moments of his life. Jose has been dying. He was her neighbor. She brought in to care for him during this time of hospice. And she has showed Christ to him. I would never have interacted with Jose, except that Jane and I have had the privilege this last year to deliver food to people's homes and to do ministry on the front porch. Oh, that's a powerful place to be. Some of the things that work against it. So I told you I was born in Dayton, Ohio. I was raised early in my life till about I was 8 years old. We lived at 240 West Norman. And some of you remember this. We knew everyone on the block. I was spanked by probably every mother on that block. And it was always my brother's fault. Let a car come down the street that no one knew, and every mom was out. Maybe you remember those times, right? One mom would say, it's lunch, we all ran in. You would wake up in the morning and I'd run down and we did a thing. I know it's so old fashioned, we would eat cereal. And back then I would open the box of cereal and there was actually cereal in it, you know. And I'd have to dig my grubby hands through to get the baseball 3D trading card out before my brothers did. And we would play all day. And at night, Dad would come home, park in the driveway, and about the same time as Mr. Amos came home, and they would talk. And then after we ate dinner, we'd go out on the porch, and my brothers and I would play. And my dad would talk to the neighbors. When Mrs. Trumbull next door was sick, she was, probably in her late 70s, maybe 80s then, Mom would send me over with a meal for her, and that's what you did. She changed my life one day. I took food over. She was watching a soap opera, and I decided to tell her that Christians didn't watch soap operas. She thought that was so funny. She called my mom. My mom did not think it was funny. But we lived together. There were no excuses. You just did it. But things changed. Porches moved to the back. Automatic garage door openers were invented. The windows shut because you had central air. And we may live by people, but we no longer lived in the neighborhood. 31% of Americans can name all of their neighbors. There's so many excuses as the Levite or the priest might have given. We have to cross the road. We have to enter into their world. The second thing that probably fought against that day of helping, whether it's in this story or with Curtis, is I don't want to get involved. I could get sued. I don't know what's going on. This might be dangerous. And I think probably the Levite and the priest thought, you know, the robbers might still be around here, right? But I want you to know that following the cross is never safe. I'm a little bit of a nerd with the Chronicles of Narnia, and if you don't know, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. Lucy is talking to Mr. Beaver about Aslan, who represents Jesus. She says, is he safe? Mr. Beaver goes, oh, he's not safe. He's good. He's good. We can't worry. Jesus, they complained because who he hung out with. They were worried about reputation. What if someone sees me with them? Maybe what we need to do is learn people's stories. I've learned the story, Jane and I, of Mike and Diana. If you met Mike, he would scare you. Face is all tatted up. Over his right eye, it says, feel my pain. And my prayer every time we go up to their porch is help me know and help me feel that. Because Mike now understands the church isn't a building. Mike's 9, stage 4 liver cancer. Diana just diagnosed a few weeks ago. Stage 4 lung cancer. I never would have interacted if God hadn't called us to go out in this blessing called COVID that allowed us to change how we've done ministry. It was always come and see. But folks, today it is go and be. Go and be that holy presence. I need to know Mike's pain. before she started chemo, she wanted something to eat, and so Jane and I got Olive Garden for them. And they were so excited. They'd never had Olive Garden. And we think this has to be complicated. It's pretty simple, folks. It's meeting people on their porch, hearing their story. Oh, people say, what are you doing over there? Just hearing someone's story, because I want to love the neighbor. Here is also, I think, our challenge. Maybe the Levite and the priest said, oh, I can't stop and help that guy. I got a board meeting. I got to go teach Sunday school. I got a small group to get to. I am so busy doing ministry, I don't have time to do ministry. COVID took our whiteboard of busyness, erased it, and said, now start over. Operating in the Near East Side of Indianapolis, we don't need more programs. Our goal over the next 10 years is to re-neighbor the hood. Stop doing programs, folks. We just had this conversation with part of our team and start creating relationships. I want you to know, for Jane and I, we have our friends and we've become to love them. And I'm excited to see what God's doing in their lives. So Maria is from Chicago. She moved to our neighborhood. She speaks very little English. They're Hispanic. But Donna, who has the guy who's dying in her house, introduced us to her, and we were able to deliver food to her. And so because of that, she's been going over helping Donna clean her house because she knows Donna's overwhelmed. Donna cares for everyone. We take food, and she gives most of it away. Or she'll fix food, she'll fix soup and take it all over. Mike and Diana are next door. Mike helped Donna get a car. Mike said, hey, my neighbor needs some food. Could you deliver it to them? And I said, no, but I'll deliver it to you. Being a neighbor is empowering our neighbors, right? Helping them. How many of you, as a parent or a grandparent, have been blessed by Legos? In the middle of the night, you're walking to the bathroom, you step on one and you say, holy, holy, holy is his name. A Lego by itself is absolutely useless. But we're all Legos created for connection. Different shapes, different sizes. And a Lego is made to connect on the top and on the bottom. There's actually a TV show now. Our son-in-law watches it. It's amazing what they could build. And you know what? When we connect, it's amazing what we can build. But we were made to connect to God and to others. And if we're not connecting, it doesn't matter. This is a building. The church is what you build. It's those connections that you make. This building can't do ministry. It can't do connections. You can. I want to tell you a story. This is the story that I was told. So John was born in a home. His father was very abusive, mean guy. Abusive to him, his brother, his two sisters, and his mother. Did bad things. Part of the KKK, just was a man full of hate. John has two boys, and he loses his job, and so he moves in with his in-laws. Boy, that'd be tough. And he's living there, and he's trying to find a job, and it's very difficult in that time. And the neighbor is a guy named Norm. And Norm is a Christ follower. And Norm begins to talk to John. And he wants to help him, and he's trying to help him find a job. And finally, one night, he says, John, could I hire you to paint my house? John says, sure. He says, let's do it in the evenings. So I can help you do it. And at the end of the paintbrush, Norm led John to Christ. It changes John's life. An angry man, having been abused, full of that anger, God changed him, 46 years Sunday school teacher. I saw the change in him because one day in the blizzard of 1978, he walked in front of me. Norm changed my family's life because he led my father to Christ. Not a program, but at the end of the paintbrush. They became best friends. Norm, when I was dedicated, stood there for me and was truly my godfather for my whole life. At the Vandalia Church of the Nazarene in Dayton, Ohio, Norm and my dad taught the Sunday school class for the adults. They had two of them for 40 plus years each. Norm connected and created a relationship that changed things. It changed things for folks in Senegal and Ghana because my son served there. It changes things at Shepherd Community because they had a teacher named Jenna and there's a guy doing business called Edson. There's two foster boys that are in a Christian home today named Clayton and Peyton. The story changed because someone loved their neighbor and connected to him. He crossed the street. By the way, sometime in my teens, Norm admitted to us the house didn't need painted. He needed an excuse to create a relationship and spend time together. I had the privilege of speaking at both of their funerals. And this Father's Day, I'm a different person because Norm changed John's life. I was texting with my two older brothers, Mark and Scott. I said, what a heritage we have. And I also text Norm's son, John. I said, happy Father's Day. What a heritage we have. John is like our brother. We were raised in a different situation because Christ intervened on this angry man's life because someone connected like a Lego. At Norm's funeral, I was one of four pastors that spoke. It's not a funeral you want to be at, right? Whoa, that's a lot of speaking. The other three, Norm had led to Christ on the softball field, and they all went into full-time ministry as pastors. And I was the product of him leading my dad. When we connect, the church becomes a powerful tool to change the world around us. It is our call to re-neighbor the hood, to love our neighbors, because there, Christ is revealed in a new and special way. Don't worry if you don't know what to do. Don't worry about the experts. Guess what? Christ will take care of that. That day with Curtis, I didn't know what to do. But you don't think God showed up in a big way with a pickup truck with two emergency room nurses? God will handle it. He just needs our obedience. He needs our willingness to go knock on a door. And saying, hey, my name's Jay, what's your name? Tell me your story. Who will you connect with? Not in a program, but in a relationship. Who will you be neighborly to? Would you bow your heads? Father God, for some of us, we have a rich heritage because of people connecting. that changed the trajectory of our lives. And Father, I am blessed this Father's Day because someone intervened, Norm intervened in John's life, and that changed my life. Father, to our friends and for Jane and I, to our neighbors, may we be faithful. May each one who hears this word today be challenged to go and connect. May we all be Legos connecting so that we can build a beautiful kingdom. In your Son's name, amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content, and always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.